Hello, and thank you for downloading Sporting Witness from the BBC World Service. Today we bring you the story of Eddy Merckx, one of the greatest Tour de France champions of all time. His winning streak came to a dramatic end on a mountain stage of the Tour in 1975. Ashley Byrne has been speaking to Barry Hoban, a British cyclist who rode the stage himself.
The mountain stages of the Tour de France always attract an eager crowd cheering the riders to the top. In the 1970s, it was even more feverish. There were no barriers until the finish line, and people would squeeze into the road, reaching out to touch their favourite rider as they powered past.
Oh, certainly it gets the adrenaline going. It's just one of these magical things. The hair stand up on your arms, the adrenaline is flowing, and you react. Everyone reacts. It's a bit of a magic input into your body, and that's back with the crowd.
It was the atmosphere a young Barry Hoban dreamed of when he left Yorkshire in the north of England for a career as a pro cyclist on the continent.
I saved up, I think, £250, and that's what I had, my worldly possessions, loaded everything into a little Morris Minor 1000 van, and off I went to France.
Barry enjoyed a career that spanned 25 years and saw him riding with some of the greatest cyclists of the era, including Jacques Anquetil and Bernard Hinault. But there was one rider who eclipsed all others.
I mean, Eddy Merckx, his first Tour de France was 1969. Merckx annihilated everyone and he won the yellow jersey, the winner of the Tour de France, by something like 17 minutes. He also won the points classification, the sprinter's jersey. He won the King of the Mountains for the polka dot jersey. And the team won the team classification. So he left next to nothing for anyone else. He had a nickname called the Cannibal. He got this appetite to win, to win, to win.
After that first Tour de France win, the Cannibal continued to devour every race in sight. Rien ne peut plus l'arrêter. He went on to win again four more times up to 1974, with no other rider getting within 10 minutes of him at the finish line.
And what's Merckx like as a person? What was he like as a person, you know, off the cycling side of things? Nice guy?
Oh, yeah. Eddie was a great guy. You could sit down around with me and have a laugh with him. I mean, it was no problem at all. It was just that when he got on a bike, he suddenly changed. One of the worst things about Merckx was if you went down to the start of a race or start of a stage and you say, "Morning, Eddie," and you didn't get an answer, you go, "Uh-oh, something's going to happen today." If he was sociable, you knew he was relaxed and free and easy. But if he went into his shell, you know he was going to sort something out that day.
In the run-up to the 75 Tour, however, cracks were beginning to show in the Merckx winning machine.
He was human. There was going to come a time. And you saw little nuances every now and again. I'd beaten him in the year before in Gent-Wevelgem. And you saw, suddenly there were races where he didn't win, but in the old days he would have won. So you think, maybe he's just on the wane a little bit. All you need in a Tour de France, you don't need a bad stage, you need a bad mountain. One bad mountain and your Tour de France is finished.
Merckx's bad mountain was the stage ending in the Puy de Dôme, a gruelling 1,500-metre climb. It was here that he finally met his match in Bernard Thévenet.
You could see it was going to be a battle. Thévenet was a pretty good rider. He'd won some good races, and he was French, so the French were all going to be behind him. The Puy de Dôme is in the Clermont-Ferrand, the volcanic region, and it is thousands and thousands of years old volcano. Most climbs you can ride at the climb and there'll be little eases on the climb. It won't be at the same gradual gradient all the way. But on this Puy de Dôme, the extinct volcano, it was the same steep climb. And unlike nowadays, the crowds were, the barriers were only there for the last 300 metres. And the crowds were 10 deep. And they opened just in front of you. There'd be motorbikes there whistling and shouting, "Move out of the way, move out of the way." And I was quite a way behind Merckx. But I was riding up the Puy de Dôme and I'd noticed this real elderly gentleman at the side of the road. As I'm coming up towards him, there's so much atmosphere and the people were getting wrapped up in it. And as I went past this guy, suddenly, wham! I got the walking stick across my back. I thought, ooh, there you are. Born and bred in Yorkshire, tough as nails, I didn't give a damn. I went up to the top.
Further up the climb, the leaders are also caught up in the melee. Merckx is trying to close the gap opened up by Thévenet in the first 4 kilometres of the mountain. The cyclists are single file riding up through the crowd lining the course, spectators within breathing distance of their idols. A Frenchman, clearly visible in the TV coverage of the event, suddenly strikes Merckx hard in the middle. It's a lightning-fast movement, the punch deflected as Merckx speeds past. He grasps his side for a moment, then keeps cycling. But he never manages to close the gap, and Thévenet wins the race to the top. The furious Merckx later complained that the punch distracted him at a crucial part of the race, preventing him from regaining the lead. The Frenchman who attacked him was arrested and fined a symbolic 1 franc.
I think Merckx made a big song and dance about it.
But whatever the controversy of what actually happened, it impacted on him, didn't it, Adam?
I think it did, but I think also, I think Merckx may have known, I'm suffering, I'm not having it all my own way.
On the next mountain stage, Merckx really cracks.
The stage finished on the Pladada, where Merckx had been dominating, he'd been riding like the super champion that he was. And Merckx had got Gimondi and he got Thévenet with him. The only way Merckx knew how to ride was to put the pressure on. And he put the pressure on, and he put the pressure on, and he put the pressure on. So anyhow, I don't know what kilometres had done, but the team director of Maurice Dumoulin, who was a shrewdie, must have been studying Merckx. He came up at the side of Thévenet. He said, "Il est cuit. He's cooked. He's had it. Put the pressure on." And Thévenet couldn't see from behind. And Dumoulin said, "Bernard, listen to me. Do what I tell you." So he obeyed the commander, put the pressure on. And Merckx suddenly started to struggle. And suddenly, in the mountains, he exploded. Exploded by whoomph. He was going backwards quicker than he was going forwards. And Thévenet went away.
With that, Thévenet gained the yellow jersey and was on a roll. Merckx battled hard to regain the lead, but crashed in stage 17, breaking his jaw. Though struggling to breathe, he refused treatment and continued to ride, finishing the stage. But the lead was lost, and he was never able to regain it. Merckx finished the tour in second place to Thévenet.
If Merckx didn't win, he finished second, he'd lost. If I finished second, it'd be great. If Merckx finished second, whoa, is on the slide, is on the slippy slope.
1975 was a turning point in his career, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, I think 75 was the... And Merckx must have realised this. The rot's going to set in. And basically, he had very few victories after that. And Merckx, the animal that he was, he couldn't ride for third and fourth place. And so he didn't have many years after that. In fact, I think, you know, had 2 more years after that and called it a day. They have a saying on the continent, the time for coming and the time for going. I mean, Eddie must have realised, 75, it's the time for going.
After retiring, Eddie Merckx started his own bicycle manufacturing business, which became hugely successful. King Albert of Belgium made him a baron, and he was voted Belgium's sports figure of the century. 1975 also marked Barry Hoban's last stage win in the Tour de France. He completed more tours than any other Englishman and now lives in Wales with his wife.
Sporting Witness was written and presented by Ashley Byrne, and the programme was a Made in Manchester production for the BBC World Service. And for our complete range of downloads, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.